Hey, welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are trying to figure it out as they make their way through life, love, comedy, the love of comedy, the not-so-love of comedy, and everything in between. This is one of your co-hosts, Matt Alano Martin. With me, as always, is Dwight Simmons. And Dwight, you are clean, my brother. You are freshly shaven, top to bottom. I'm assuming all the way down. We don't need to do that. That's for the Patreon, baby.
We'll Yeah, the shirt comes off on the Patreon. Yeah. I did. I went full. So the legend of Dwight's patchy beard continued from the middle of December to yesterday.
Okay.
Where I shaved my head and my face because, you know, I had that Netflix audition and I wanted to look clean for the cameras.
That's nice.
But when I shave, when I go a long time without shaving, I just don't recognize my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like, you ever see that Will Smith movie where he cloned, like they clone him?
Yeah.
And but it's like not, a younger version.
Yeah. 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 The CGI looks slightly off.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, you do look a lot younger. And I was wondering if that part of it, are you, because, you know, we all know how Hollywood is. We all know that, you know, so are you having a bunch of jokes? You shaved and you had a bunch of jokes that you're just straight out of college. Is that what you're doing up there?
Yeah. Yeah. You know how y'all be heating up ramen noodles in your dorm room? That's what I opened with.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. I should have wore like a jean jacket. Have you noticed that these young comics on their reels are wearing more and more layers? Like, they'll just be up there in a full coat. It's like that the cool thing now? You're like, it is winter. And a jacket.
It is winter. I will say that the styled.
Yes. You walked off the street on the stage and didn't have time to take off your coat.
I have seen some that where they're wearing like gigantic like parkas, like winter parkas, which does seem excessive. I don't know. I'll give a shout out to formerly Midwest-based comedian Matt Baucus. Matt Baucus, for a very long time, had a very distinctive look, which I thought was really smart, which is he had like the unzipped hoodie and over it was like kind of like a leather jacket. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it looked good on him. It was a good style. It was a good look. I don't think he's quite as beholden to that now. He probably still rocks it every now and then. Yeah. But that was like that was his thing. You know, and it looked good on stage. And you know, so I don't know. I don't mind the layers. I think the layers are okay.
No, it's just, that's what I'm going for. Shave face, okay. Layered up. Yeah.
Okay. So, you're going the anti-layer.
Really, I'm really going to trick the industry with this one.
You took a layer off your face and then.
I did.
Yeah.
I did several layers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It took a long time shaving, but it was just like, I don't know. Sometimes when I get commercial auditions, I'll just send in the old headshot. Even though they asked for a new one and I'm patchy and I got the Apache beard.
So you send in one that's clean shaven and then you show up with the patchy beard and they're like, okay with that.
I've done that once. And the makeup artist was like, do you want me to build that in?
I've been talking about this on the podcast.
I don't want to lie to these people.
Yeah.
Get edited.
Yeah.
No, I'll ask them, is it okay if I have this beard and then send a shot? And they have
of the one side of your face that it came in on. And
see that?
A profile shot.
Let us see the other profile.
They don't see the mangy ass side of your face.
They have professionals there, not me with a comb that gets impatient after 2 minutes.
Okay.
Combing it out, but.
Yeah.
I wanted to feel fresh. I had a set that I was trying to put together for a couple of weeks that just did not come together.
Okay.
Like, I could not get it. I just I worked on it all week last week and I just never got it to a place where I was happy with it. We talked about it a little bit after the Cardinal show, where it's just I like that bit. I like where it's going and I don't think it was ready. I didn't have the confidence behind it to do something high stakes.
Right.
So I just went with what got me here and did Good Bones bit.
Okay.
Been good to me. But yeah, I really.
So let me put a pause on this for a second. Yeah. So you did, how long was your set during this audition?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. So it's short. So the only thing you did was the Good Bones bit because it's a long piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a ballsy, like all or nothing move. And but like you said, this is your closer on the new special. And this is like a a signature bit. It's become a signature bit for you, right?
Yeah.
So it's smart. It makes sense. And how did it do? How did the thing go?
I'll set the scene for you.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
The lineup was fantastic. A bunch of professional comedians. I thought it was weird they had a lot of indie comedians. Like,
I saw there was a ton of them. Lucas and David and Tyson.
David Brooks. Tyson wasn't on this show. I think they're doing another one tonight. Aisha Brown was on. Kelly Collette from Cincinnati. Brad Wenzel from Detroit. So just a fucking top heavy lineup. Fantastic. Chelsea Hood was on, who I really love.
Yep.
I was like, y'all could have had this in at Helium in Indianapolis. There's enough of us on.
Like
two Chicago people.
Less of you would have had to draw. Yeah.
Right. And so
was it at Zany's? Is that Zany's?
It was at Zany's in Chicago.
Old Town.
Old Town. You've been, right?
I've been to the old. Yeah. I auditioned for work at that Zany's, which I'll tell you that story after we get through this.
Years ago. It's a small room, but it's a fun room. And I felt so bad because Lucas Waterfill is auditioning. He's in a wheelchair. They don't have a ramp up to the stage. No. The green room's in the, you got to walk through the kitchen.
And then upstairs.
It's up a flight. And then the green room's up another flight of stairs. So he had to hang out. There's nowhere for him to hang out. He's just like hanging out in the showroom. So kind of took shifts going down there to hang with him, and he had to like roll in the front of the stage to do a set there.
Yeah.
And he fucking annihilated because he's amazing.
Yeah.
He had a riff about, you know, I'm not going to do his bit, but he talks about ableist hate speech. And he's like, we'd get more stuff if that happened, like maybe a fucking ramp in this goddamn club. And it annihilated the room. It was incredible. Yeah. And your baby boy had to follow him. That was midway through a set. And I was like, I can just go outside and put a bullet in my head right now.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I always think it's better to follow a great comedian, someone that does well, than it is to follow someone who sucks. Mm-hmm. Especially in a pressure situation where you only have 5 minutes. Like, you don't have a lot of time to pick the room back up. So I went with the because he had such a hot set. I went with the strategy of commenting on his set about, hey, I love that guy. We're from the same scene. One more time for Lucas Waterfill, and then got into it.
Yeah. You have to address it. You can't just
power through. Yeah.
You can't just come out and start with your first joke. You have to address what just happened in the room, and you did it in like a you're a nice guy, you're a classy guy, you had the connection of we were from the same scene. I love that dude. One more time. Yeah, that's such a natural, easy way to get a set going, because then you can just go into it. Whereas it would have been so fucking weird if you walked out and the first thing you did was like, my wife and I were on HGTV. It's like out of the blue. People are like, oh, okay, cool. We got to, because you basically, by commenting on their set, you're like, you're helping them transition mentally. Okay, I'm the guy you're going to see now, but I'm going to, you know, we're now taking you, literally taking you out of that energy of the last guy. You're kind of closing the door on it and then starting. So that is a pro move for sure. And I'm glad you didn't try to go the other way.
Look at this motherfucker in the wheelchair. This son of a bitch. I didn't make the Miss Pat mistake again.
Oh man, this ties
everybody into wants my working legs around here.
This ties into my recap, but go ahead. So you get up there, you comment on it, and then how does it go? How does your set go?
It started off still like I had to work to get them moving. Like even saying my wife and I just celebrated an anniversary usually gets like an applause or something, and they were like not feeling it. So it took me a good 90 seconds before I got some rhythm. And then, you know, the self-edit on the fly of like, what am I going to take out? Because it's a long chunk.
So you didn't work up a shorter version beforehand. You just trusted your instincts to kind of.
I wanted to go one of two ways to make it 5 minutes. I was either going to take out an act out toward the end, or take out like some, I guess you call them imagery pieces of like I'm describing what it's like details, being on the show. So I went that route.
Okay.
And so I had to like kind of tie things together unnaturally, but it worked. And I got a couple of big pops, and I'd give the set probably a 6.5 out of 10, which isn't ideal, but I felt like it was a good representation.
Yeah.
And it was really good to see like the other comics that I know like go up and do 5 minutes. Like everybody was honed in. Like Brooks had a great set. Kelly was after me. She had a great set. The crowd was just kind of, you know, Chicago crowds are, they can be very not giving. And you have a bunch of comics that are used to these jokes
going up at the end of the show, like you're headlining. And
they're supposed to be a pop right there. You know what I mean? But everyone's also, we got 5 minutes. Everyone's kind of, you know, rushing through. And there's not a natural stop point when you're not used to doing 5 minutes. I did a couple of open mics, but that's, you know, that's, and I tried when I was trying to work a different set, it was different. But like trying to do something kind of on the fly felt a little foreign. But yeah, it's the day after and I feel pretty good about it.
That's good.
I know the laughs hit where they were supposed to.
That's good. And there's also that thing too, where, and I know that you know this, but for people listening, when for something like this, for like a TV show or for a festival or for whatever, they're looking at content that stands out and is unique. You know, if someone gets up there and murders for 5 minutes with like really basic premises or really basic things that have been talked about a lot in the room, great. They're getting a great response. Sure, they're funny. But if someone's programming something that's, you know, going to be recorded or like as a larger, like they need to think about all the pieces at once, like at a festival lineup, right?
Yep.
But it's like, oh, but that dude talked about some shit that I haven't heard before or had like this cool story or his energy was different. So it may not always be the person who murders in the room that gets the thing, you know?
That's exactly right. That's what, when I went to that industry panel in Flyover, it was kind of the thing that they were talking about. Like, you know, we want something that stands out where you can say, oh, remember that joke or remember that story more so than we want. Okay. You did well in front of this particular room.
Right. I think about it all the time. Paul Strickland talks about like the difficulty levels of jokes. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you murder with a bunch of ones, right, jokes that are easy, that's not that impressive. But if you do pretty well by doing a bunch of jokes that are like a five level difficulty, like weird premise, you know, like emotionally, like kind of push and pull, you know, like he's like, that's so much more satisfying and memorable than if you just murder doing a bunch of like easy shit, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no,
I just
it's good.
Recalled that. Yeah.
It's good. It was a good exercise. This whole thing since getting the audition has been a good exercise in trying to structure a set, especially if I want to submit to late night this year. I think I've learned a couple of different things that help in preparation wise for like a set, especially doing longer sets. Coming off a weekend where I was doing 45 minutes for 5 days straight, doing that and then jumping into, all right, that light came quick at 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
But man, I was happy for the opportunity. I was happy to see. First of all, I thought I was special. And then I saw everybody posting that they also. But
let me just tell you how I felt on the other end of that. I was like, fuck yeah, my boy Dwight. And I'm like, also Kelly. Oh, David's up there too. Oh, Todd. Oh, I guess I ain't shit. It's like, I want all of you to get, I hope every single person I know, and I know some people in other scenes that got it too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I hope all of you get the Netflix thing, but I'm still going to cancel my Netflix subscription because
you ain't getting my money. You ain't getting my money.
You ain't getting my $13 a month or whatever it is now. You guys will just have to tell me about how your special went because I won't be seeing it.
That's
you funny. Are special, Dwight. If nobody sold you this lately, you are special.
And, you're far too kind.
Yeah.
No, I was like, it was, you remember a couple of years ago when I got sent a thing that was like, hey, you can submit to Jon Stewart's new show a writing packet. We think you're funny. And then okay. I was like, oh, shit. And then I got on Twitter and literally 4,000 comics were like, oh, I got to submit to. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah. It's a different thing every year. You know, some years it's we think you're special enough to submit to the Jon Stewart Has a Problem show. Some years Kenan Thompson wants to see you do stand up. You know, it's just a different thing every year.
Kenan just really wants to see 4,000 comics from across the United States. Yep.
He wants to do it.
I don't know why he wants to do this, but he's doing it. Don't ask no questions.
Yep. He's not busy at all. Anyway.
That's so funny. But it was it made me feel fucking great. And, you know, I got this from being seen at a festival. So that does mean something. And that's starting to pay off. Like, I just got asked to come do Sisyphus in Minneapolis from 10,000 Laughs. So he actually said that. I saw you at 10,000 Laughs. I was like, all right, these festivals are starting to pay off a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. I have it on my thing to do this year is I want to get into, because I did a couple last year, but I didn't aggressively submit. I didn't submit to anything last year, because the ones I did last year I had submitted the year before, you know, that kind of delay scenario. It's interesting you talk about like you really focusing on the set construction for 5 minutes. I've been running a specific set because I also want to get a short 5 to 10 minute set for sending to these festivals, but also I'm making it TV clean so I can also, and what I really think is like the punchiest. And I think I've got something that I like. And like, now that you're back home, I might shoot you a link. It's not the final version of it. I did it at the Attic Open Mic.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple stumbles here and there, but as far as joke selection, I like it. I think it's good. And that feels good. That feels good. Like, oh, I think this is fun. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's utterly unique, but I mean, it's like, to me, it's got enough personality in it that I think it carries. Like, I'm not trying to submit 5 minutes about my mom dying.
Right.
Like, you know, like maybe that would be the stronger thing to way to go. But to me, I want to go fun and light with this set.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that at the Attic Open Mic and taped it. And it's like, it feels like, okay, like a couple more takes, I'm going to get this right. And I just started my headlining sets with it this weekend too. Just opened doing this 5 minute TV clean set.
Yeah.
And then settled in just to get more runs in on it and more reps. It turned out not to be great because, like, I'm watching you. You're posting like sold out show, Niles. We had very different weekends. You did this corporate, you did like these sold out shows in Niles, Michigan, like just fucking killing it. My first show at the Lucky Cat, we had 13 people, still like frigidly, it's still like negative degrees there and everything, but they were great. But again, it's like, I'm not going to send that. Right. And of course, like, you've done the Lucky Cat. Everybody fucking sits as far away from the stage as possible in that room. I don't know why. They're always great. They're a great audience, but they are out of frame. Like, you still just see empty chairs and tables in the shot.
Oh, man.
Because they're all fucking, you can hear them. You can hear them laughing at the jokes. I had a great set. It was super fun. But then the next day, the show got canceled.
Oh, shit. Because of the weather?
I think we had 2 pre-sales, right? Mm-hmm. Not great. And the owners of the Lucky Cat are separating. And the...
What?
Yeah. And so one of the owners is very into comedy and the other one was just doing it as like, okay, this is what the other person wants to do. This is what we're going to do as a business. The one who's super into comedy was not there that weekend. It was the one who, again, nice person, very nice person, but the other one was running things. I think had it been the comedy fan and the one who's more passionate about this, as if they would have been there, I'm willing to bet they would have texted me or called me and said, do you want to cancel?
We won't get
this many pre-sales, or do you want to try and do walk-ups?
Right.
And I had already dropped $100 on social media ads for this weekend.
Yeah.
So I would have preferred that we stayed and tried to do walk-ups and just try to, like, you know, hit it as hard as we could for the rest of the day in social media. But I wasn't given that option, which is fine. And I totally understand clubs have minimums for a reason, for overhead and things like that. I get it. Right. And I got to come home early. I drove home and, you know, that night and got to spend all day Sunday with my wife and my dog. So, you know, and they paid me the full guaranteed rate, you know. So
that's great.
You know, still a great club, still everything, but they are going through this change back of house. And I've not mentioned it before, but I think it's kind of public knowledge at this point, at least within the Iowa scene. It's
right.
kind of out there. So I don't feel like I'm really revealing Breaking anything this. Too crazy. So, you know, not the best, you know, but again, I had a ton of fun on my set. I got another rep in of running that five, and it seems to be like banging, like boom, 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 like big pop, yeah. big pop, big pop. It's like everything I want it to be.
Oh, great.
And so now I'm just trying to like lock it in, and you know, and I've got shows this weekend. I'm basically going to have four more chances to run it at the beginning of a set.
Mm-hmm.
One of those won't be great for taping. Like the Don't Tell this Thursday in Bloomington, it's a very cool spot.
Yeah.
But I already know that it's not going to be great for video. Just the way it is set up, it's like, it's going to be cool if you're there in the room, but just, it's not going to translate.
Probably. Gotcha.
I'll tape anyway, and we'll see. But also I'm hosting, which is also like, I'm going to be the first one up. It's not going to hit probably as hard as I want it to.
Yeah. That's, but I mean, that's what a late night set would feel like, right? You just walk out.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they've already seen some monologue jokes. You know, they got to see Halle Berry get interviewed. They might be in a good mood, man. You know, no, I'm excited about the Don't Tell we're having in Bloomington. I think the spot is cool. The owners of the spot are super into it. It's going to be cool. Maybe I'm wrong. It's just not, without giving too much away of what the location is, it just doesn't have like a very, the background for where the comedians are going to be standing is not super distinguished or.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyway, but then I'm doing like Don't Tell in Kansas City and a Bottom of the Barrels the next night in Kansas City. Both of those, apparently the ticket sales have been really strong on both of those. So I'll get those chances. And I'm doing a Zach Peterson production in Omaha.
Yeah.
New place that he has on Sunday. So I'm going to get these extra runs in, but I also know that I can't just keep chasing it forever. So I'm just going to have to pick one.
Right.
And start submitting to things.
Right.
You know,
that makes sense.
But I feel good about it, you know, with the exception of like the show getting canceled. Not great. But
now the website was broken. Do you think it was
broken?
Do you think it was really broken?
Until a couple of days before? No, I think that, I think it really was.
That's code. I think it really was. Mom and dad are getting a divorce.
Yeah. So, you know, these things happen. It's fine. You know,
we still love you, but the website's broken.
And I still love, and I still love both of them too. Like I understand that one of them, this was their passion. The other one's not that into it. You know, the person whose passion it is has told me already that they're going to keep doing comedy shows in Cedar Rapids.
Okay.
Even though the club itself might be going away.
Yeah.
They're going to, which they had done that before they had the club. They would, you know, like every 3 months or so, they'd put on a comedy show.
Right.
Which is how I first met this person. And so that's exciting. So nothing but love out to everyone involved with Lucky Cat.
Comedy.
And all 12 of the people who came out and had a good time.
Comedy ruined another marriage. It's just undefeated.
Yeah, it's not even just the comics marriages who gets married. It gets ruined. It's everyone involved.
It's the lover of comedy.
Yeah. Oh man. So anyway, but I got to run it, like I said, at the Comedy Attic on the open mic. And this is something that I want to talk about, where we talk about the choices that you make when you go up on stage on whether or not to comment on the previous comic set or not.
Oh, yeah.
I was closing out the mic, and two before me was Shanda. And this crowd had been pretty tight. People had gotten them. Like, Sohail Ali had a really good set. Aaron Depke had a really good set. And Shanda had a really good set. Those were the three that had strong start to finish, pop, 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 pop. Everything you want out of a set, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm stoked because, again, the audience has been a little tight. And it's an open mic. There's, you know, newbie people that don't know how to turn it around, you know, and stuff like that. And so Shanda, then it's this comic, and then me. Shanda does really well.
Yeah.
She does really well. And I'm like, cool. We got them. We're going to be cruising. The comic goes up between us, though. Young white dude, decides to open by shitting on Shanda.
Oh, no.
Calling back a joke of hers that she didn't even do that night, but that he'd seen her do before.
That's so dumb.
Yeah. He references a joke she did not do that night, which is the dumbest shit you could possibly do.
So stupid.
And then basically, like, just says some real nasty misogynist shit about her.
What?
Yeah. And then also says something about Aaron Depke's set. wasn't quite as misogynistic, but he had to comment on the other strong female comedian. And then let's not just keep it in one lane of misogyny, right? Also decided to go pretty racist by referencing Soheil and referring to Soheil as Muhammad.
What the fuck?
Over and over again. Now, this audience, who'd been very tight throughout the entire night,
yeah,
they were aggressively silent with this kid. I mean, it was like when these things were like, yes, now you use this for good. You use your silence for good. Kid starts to fall apart.
Yeah, of course.
Literally at one point says something about Jesus. And he's like, yeah, that guy was, give it up for Jesus Christ. Nothing. They didn't clap for the Lord in Indiana. That's when you know you're bad. The one thing I commented on this is like, you know, you're doing bad when you can't even get a clap for Jesus, like in Indiana. But yeah. And then at one point he's starting to get the flop sweat and he's like, it literally says, come on guys, I'm trying up here. And we're like, but it's like, no man, you already, and you know, and this is just his riffing was misogynistic, right? and racist. So of course his bits were also shitty, terrible, mm-hmm. fucking dickhead takes on everything.
Yeah.
And then, but then I went up after him and I, you know, threw him under the bus and then like I ripped on him a little bit and then got into my set and fucking crushed. And it was really good. And I was just like, yeah, That's how you do it.
That's what you got to do. Like, those are your homies as well.
I know. Like, that's what, well, Shannon was like, should I go back up? Like, after him, I was like, if you want to, you can take my spot if you want to close.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, and everything. But apparently this dude had done the exact same thing to her before. On another open mic, he had gone up after her where she did do that joke that he referenced.
Yeah.
And that's how he opened, was by riffing on that bit and being really gross and misogynistic to her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so, but I have heard from the powers that be that that young man will not be coming to the Attic open mic anymore. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm surprised that it was twice. That's usually that's like a zero tolerance policy.
Well, to the credit, I will say, and I agree with Zach on this. Zach is the guy who books the open mic. We were talking about it in the green room and he was like, you know, he's like, I never want to judge somebody by one set.
Right.
Which is true. You don't want to do that. People can have a terrible night. They could, you know, be really young and dumb and then they figure it out. Sometimes when you go up and you do a bunch of jokes like that and you eat shit, because he also brought a bunch of people. He would not have been in the second to last spot.
He brought people that didn't last?
As a non-regular, he would not have been in that second to last spot unless he had the most people.
God damn.
And they still didn't last. So like, if you get up and shame yourself in front of your peers and your friends, and they're also eat a dick that hard, then a lot of times you will course correct. If you're a smart, sensitive, intelligent human being, you're like, oh man. But, you know, two times you're like, he clearly ain't going to learn that lesson. So it's fine. So that was my weekend of highs and lows, but overall still pretty good. Tell us about your shows. You talked about the Netflix thing.
Open mic comedy.
It's a beautiful thing, man.
I was in Niles, Michigan from Wednesday through Saturday. I did a corporate for a company there, a mortgage company. And there's a new club called Underground Comedy Lounge. The place I was just at.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I drove back from Chicago last night and it was terrible and I am on very little sleep. It was foggy.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
My brain is still rebooting, but we're going to make it through. I had a great time. So this new club is like Sean Schenck got together with these retirees to open this club, and the club's in the basement of a speakeasy. A very swanky speakeasy. If you saw my Instagram stories. I saw your post.
Yeah.
My goodness. It's an actual speakeasy vibe. Like, you have to ring the doorbell to come in. You can't just walk in. And most of the times you have to have a reservation. Wow. And then the comedy condo is right above that. So it's all one building. So
Dwight's perfect weekend.
Oh, man. I never had to leave the building if I did not want to. Which is great because it was blizzarding on Friday and the Saturday. The corporate was fun. It was like they were like light R. basically. Mm-hmm. And so I started to go in.
Wait. So like you had to say it like kind of in between an A and an R? What does that mean? Light R. What is so not a hard R. Yeah, they go with a light R.
You can say. I'm gonna let you have that joke and I'm gonna let it sit there.
Oh,
but I hope you're happy.
Feel bad about what I think is an amazing joke. Come on.
It was light R. They said no hard R's, please. And no politics.
Okay.
No hard R's and no politics. That's it.
No hard R's, no R&D, you know? Yeah.
And it was fine. It was fun when I got into the crowd. Like, that's what they wanted, those corporates. I got in the crowd and then ended up doing like 45 minutes. I was having a good time. The room is small. And okay. I think there were probably like 35 people there. It felt full. I think it holds 90.
That's
but
good.
They were kind of spread out and they were energetic and they were super happy. And I went out to a place called Front Street Pizza after that. And the owner of this mortgage company, or the head guy, just picked up my check without me knowing. So nice. I was like, this is going to be a good week.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good week.
Thursday. See, I would have been like, oh, that's the rest of the week's curse.
Like, yeah, I peaked.
Start a Wednesday night like that, then yeah. Like,
I peaked. The goal was like to work out this, you know, these bits of my dad getting stabbed. Got this Wisconsin drinking joke that's hitting hard, but it's just not where I want it. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to work out on those. Thursday, I closed the open mic. It was a competition. Completely sold out, packed.
Crazy.
It was nuts. And then it was just a kill box. It was like, you know, you watch the open mic comics doing well. You're like, oh, I should run out and get my tripod.
Yeah.
Which did I you? Did not. No, oh. I did not. Yeah. I came to the show late because all I had to do was take a shower and walk downstairs. And so I was like, I'll be there 10 minutes before I have to go on stage. And it was funny because they do the voting by like a QR code. Everyone just scans a QR code that it's like the screen drops down. Everyone scans the QR code and votes that way.
Interesting.
At like the attic, they'll play music while people are voting.
Yeah.
Here, maybe just because it's new, they were just like, all right, vote. And here's your headliner.
Oh, so they're voting while you're going. There's no. Yeah,
like,
that sucks.
Full lights on. Lights on, and they're like, here you go. And so
I'm making it because I'm doing this club, so I'm gonna make a note not to close out the contest. Like, I'll just come up on a Friday. I'll just
do it.
Unless you can give me that corporate, you know.
Once it was, that's the thing. It's like, don't do the open mic if you're not already there. But once they focus and turn down the lights, it was home run derby.
Yeah,
and honestly, that room, you're gonna have a blast. It is once. You get the energy, it's like complete control. You know how Thanos has all the infinity stones and you're like, I have complete control. You don't get this feeling too often, but I had it.
Yeah.
I had it four shows in a row where that's it awesome. Just felt like, okay, this is great. Like huge pops. The crowd, usually at new clubs, you don't get crowds that are quote unquote well-trained.
Yeah.
They knew when it's okay to like speak up, except for like Saturday show, which was probably
Saturday,
my fault.
Saturday late or
just the Saturday. Yeah, we just did one show Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I posted a video of me walking around in the snow.
I saw it. Yeah.
Post on Saturday saying thanks for Friday show that damn near sold out, even though there was a blizzard. I want to give a shout out to Anson Wood, who's a listener of the podcast. He brought his wife and a couple other homies
from
Elkhart. They risked their lives.
Jeez.
It's like active whiteout. And they're like, yeah, I was like, thanks, man. I wish I had more new jokes for you.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Yeah, man. That's impressive. Yeah. Big shout out to Anson. And by the way, Anson, I'll be there in the very reasonable weather of August 2nd and 3rd. So
hell yeah. Go see Matt.
As long as your AC is working, you'll be fine. Yeah. You know? All right. So,
but I posted this video, I posted it to Facebook and apparently it drove in the last like 35 tickets is what the owner Sheila told me. that video got shared a bunch, and Niles is a really small town.
Yeah.
So just like, you know, they take care of, like I said, a dude bought my dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Every place I went to, someone's like, hey, can I pick up your coffee? Like, saw you at the show. We're coming tonight. It was nuts. It was like,
how small is this town?
I will just, it's one street.
Oh, okay.
It's like one street.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They're like, you go to the diner for dinner and we'll take care of that for you. And yeah, they had like a gym fob at the condo that you could use for free. Just walk down the street. It's 24 hours.
Nice.
It was awesome. Everything I needed. I really felt strong coming out of the weekend, which was great going into this audition.
Yeah, confidence. Yeah, you need that. Yeah.
Even though I didn't accomplish the goal of like working, like I worked on this stuff, it just did not pop.
Yeah.
You know, coming out.
But you also knew to
incredible
make
hot,
call.
Like hot yeah. sets. And I'm like,
yeah.
Either I don't have the confidence behind this to match the rest of the energy of the set. Or the jokes are just not there yet. Either way, I can't use
You think
that.
There's also something, and I'm sure you've already thought about this too, and this may be what you mean by the jokes aren't there yet, but you know, there are some jokes that do great later in a set that they're very hard to open with. You know, and so just coming out cold, the first thing someone sees you with, like, you need to build a little trust and a little, you know, rapport with the audience first. And like, I'm not saying you can't get those jokes there, because I think, again, like you opened with it at Cardinal, and maybe it's because I already know you.
Yeah.
I thought, did fine with it or whatever. But it's like, you hold yourself to a higher standard than I do. I'm like, whatever. It's like, it didn't get anything? Cool. I'm going to stay in that.
It's like the competence.
Right.
Feeling. And I did switch it around. Like I tried it as my second to last joke in one set. And people were like, oh, that's, it's kind of a buzzkill. I thought we were having fun. The Wisconsin joke is getting applause break, and my mom praying that whole thing is getting applause breaks, which
it's so relatable. Your mom praying,
like
at the table to then turn around and send the appetizers back is so funny and so relatable.
It's so like weird. It's weird to have that be your entire life and just now write a joke about it.
Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's like that. Yeah. The clarity of it. Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you had a hell of a weekend, dude. And like, hell yeah, man. Like, let's trade this weekend. How about I have some good shows and you?
I am off. I'm taking.
Okay, good. You canceled all your shows.
Shout out to Tyler Ross, who featured. Very funny. Him and his fiance are moving to LA, and never got to see him do a full feature set. He's booked me on some stuff, and he was really funny. Great energy to follow. So shout out to Tyler.
Yeah,
but
right on.
Man, it's been a decent year so far as shows, like me feeling confident in my material and also being able to work on new stuff. Like that's a good place that I think I thrive in, of being like, all right, the show will be okay because I can get them back, but I do need to work on this stuff.
Yeah. Well, and again, like that's the beauty of having done it for as long as we've done it, is you have that faith and confidence in yourself, and you have enough stuff in your arsenal that even if the new stuff goes completely sideways, you have enough stuff you can pull out to like save the show. I'm with you. Like I've not been having like, it's a weird dichotomy from ending 2023 with two sold out and one basically sold out show at the Comedy Attic, where everything was hit and boom, like it was just home run derby. It was so good. And again, so lucky to have captured that with a giant piece of tinsel in front of my face.
That is,
I revisited again today. I was like, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe I could, I'm like, nope, fuck. It's like half the time it's in front of my face.
You just keep watching, hoping.
Yeah, maybe it's a,
Matt Surgeon's AI. Can you
AI
remove?
To just fix my remove that and put an AI face over my face? But it's like like every show that I've had this year so far has been small. It's been really small. Like I headlined Sushi High in Denver. They've all been fun. I've had fun. The crowds have all been good. You know, Brick Room. It's just by its nature, it's a tiny place, right? So I haven't done any like big, like packed, like high energy, like crazy shows yet, but I feel really great on stage right now. And I feel really good because I've also been holding myself to the goals that we set. I've been writing every week. I've been doing the 5 new minutes a week thing. I have like, from that, I have like one joke that I know is probably going to be a keeper. One that's maybe. And then I've got some to try.
That's good rates right there.
Yeah. I've got some to try this weekend. I'm going to slip them in. You know, my new 5 that I wrote this week, I'm going to slip them into the headlining sets. And so I feel good about all that kind of stuff. But I was commiserating with a fellow comedian friend who's been doing it about maybe a couple of years less than me, but been doing it a long time. Very well established in their scene. Can get up pretty much whenever they want. They live in a major city. But we're both like, they said it first, and I realized they kind of like were verbalizing things that I was feeling and not thinking about, which is like, it's a weird thing to be at this point where you feel like you're as good as you've ever been. And every time you step on stage, you're having fun, which is important, and you're doing well. You can do very, very well because you're just this conduit of joy. Like, I've got jokes for days. I can step in any situation, I'll always do well. And at the same point, like, that's happening. But then also you look at like your career, you're like, just plateau, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this stalled out, like,
right.
I haven't got any new credits. I haven't gotten any kind of big bump. I haven't gotten, you know, the opportunities to do things. You know, I'm, you know, for them, there is a major club in their city that just basically is just doesn't return their emails, despite the fact that they're established and can do every other room. And again, you know, as comedians, we focus on the negative thing instead of being like, hell yeah, I can do every other room in town.
Right.
It's like, why doesn't that room return my emails? Yeah. You know? Same thing. And like, I'm trying to push through with positivity and just focus on the happiness side of it. But that is like, you know, a thing to be aware of. And I'm trying to manifest it into being more driven. And like, I'm going to submit to shit because you don't know if you don't put yourself out there.
Right.
You just sit around like, why am I not getting any of these things? Like, well, are you putting yourself out there? Right. You got to put yourself out there at every level. And I mean, just to everybody.
Every level. Yep.
We talked about this before. Like, if you are been open micing for a year or two and you're consistently at a club in your home scene and you're open micing and you want to move up to maybe doing guest spots on the weekend or hosting on the weekend or hosting the open mic, you got to let the people know. Yes, sometimes you will get asked to come in, but if you ask to come up and step up and do this, or what do I got to do this to move up to that next level in your scene, you got to do it. And so that doesn't stop even at our level.
That's a great reminder of like,
yeah,
I love what you said. Every level has to be reminded of that. You know why? Because it's tiring. It's like, it's, you almost don't want to turn off that like self-loathing button, because I think that does drive a lot of what we do. It's like, why? But you also, I don't know if it's, you get a friend to remind you, or you get just that natural innate, like, all right, snap out of it. Just start asking for more stuff. Yeah. Either way, no one's going to care about your career more than you do at any level. It's just
100%.
I don't care if you have management or like, no one's going to care as much as you do. So asking for things never is going to no comic doesn't have to ask for stuff that they want.
Yeah.
Let people know that you're interested and put it out into the universe, I guess. I hate that I said that sentence. I don't know what that means. Okay. Put it out into the universe.
But manifest it, you know, all that kind of good stuff. Yeah, you know,
it feels right. Like I am constantly stressed looking at my calendar for the spring, and things just start to fill in, and then I have a lot of off weeks. But what that makes me do is sit down and fill out those weeks, at least try, for better or worse. We'll see. But I think the fact that you're going up and you're like, all right, I'm starting my sets with this late night set. And then eventually you're going to be like, I'm going to pull the trigger to just submit it. And
see what happens. I mean, I'm going to try and get a really tight version of it. Even if it's the first 5 of a headlining set, my main thing is I need to learn to like pause afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like, so it seems like it's a natural end and just kind of sit there and milk the laugh or whatever for the closer. That was the thing I was going to talk about. That was a hard thing to think about, I think, at our level, when you are trying to put together a 5-minute set, of like the idea of like, oh, this short ass set also has to have a closer. It has to have its version of a closer. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to do a 3-minute story, but just like a joke that is like that and I'm out, you know? And so I feel like this one has a pretty good one for that. And so, but I did watch, I'm studying it like game tape, you know? Yep. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I kind of flubbed the ending of it. And then I just also didn't pause long enough.
Right.
Like I did, I was like, I got to change up the way I do the energy at the end of that last joke. And that's that, because normally it's not the last joke. And then I go into other things, and it's fine that it has like, but da 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 da. You know, right. It's like, I need to end big. I need to figure out a way to really make it a bigger ending. Yep. So I'm working on that kind of stuff for sure. But I know we're running out of time. I do want to give everybody a recap on the social media stuff, the returns I had on that. I feel like people have said that that is helpful. Yeah. So I dropped $60 on Instagram ads. What's crazy about this one is, and I'm looking at my like little past ads thing here on the thing, I dropped $60 for the Noblesville shows, I think. Yeah. Was that something? Let me see if that's the one it was. Hold on. Yeah. And I got 135 click-throughs, right?
Okay.
For those shows.
Yeah.
And then, oh no, sorry. This was for, no, this wasn't Noblesville. This was for my headlining weekend at Bloomington, New Year's Eve weekend. All right. So I dropped $60. I got 135 click-throughs to the ticket link. This time I dropped $60 and I got only 97 click-throughs. But what's crazy is this clip got so many more views.
Yeah.
As a reel. So, nope, that's not true at all. Sorry. I had to go to a different page to look at it. So this one, it performed pretty well. So the New Year's Eve one that I dropped $60 on, it has 7,472 views. And then whatever I said, 100 and whatever click-throughs. The one I just did for Cedar Rapids, same amount of money, $60. That one got just under 6,000 views and just under 100 click-throughs. I still think it's worth it.
Yeah.
Like $60 for 6,000 views.
Right.
Plus some click-throughs if it would have bought tickets. You know, I still think that's pretty decent. And then on TikTok, both times I dropped $40 on those.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how to read for the click-throughs on that. But on TikTok, I guess maybe I didn't do New Year's Eve ads on TikTok. So I just did $40 on TikTok for Cedar Rapids. And I got 8,000 views on that.
Yeah,
which is high for me on TikTok.
If, right.
Like even for a promoted one, that's pretty good for me. So again, does any of that really matter at the end of the day? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just the numbers and how it worked out for anybody out there who's thinking about whether or not to invest in social media ads. I think dropping $100, I basically pick one weekend each month that I'm going to spend $100 on social media ads on. That's how I'm doing it. And I do think going forward, though, it will probably be ones that are not guarantees and that are door deals.
Yeah.
Where I can gamble more on it because like...
It makes sense.
Yeah. I spent $100 for Cedar Rapids, which again, if we would have packed it out, would have been great. I probably would have sold merch and all that kind of stuff to get it back. But as it was just a straight guarantee, it was like, well,
yeah,
there's not a lot of incentive for me to do this, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wanted to do that. But let's look forward and talk about shows we have coming up. I know that we had some comedy drama, but I don't think we can
We got time?
Okay.
Yeah, we can we can touch it real quick.
Let's talk about shows coming up and then we'll end on the drama.
I've got nothing this week, but February 1st through the 3rd, I will be in Atlanta for the West End Comedy Festival.
Hell yeah.
Doing some spots. I am super excited. What about you, my man?
So this weekend, I will be on Thursday, the 25th, I'll be hosting Don't Tell Comedy here in Bloomington, Indiana. Very cool location, a new location, and I like it a lot. And then the next night, on the 26th, I'll be in Kansas City doing Don't Tell there. And then on 27th, I'll also be in Kansas City headlining Barrel of the Bottoms. And then on the 28th, I'll be in Omaha, Nebraska doing Bull Moose is the name of the place. This is a new Zach Peterson thing that is supposedly real, real good. Like all of the Zach Peterson shows, that dude rules.
Shout out to him, man. He just went number one. On his new album. So I'm happy. That's a good dude. He deserves it.
Good dude deserves it. And talk about like an original comedian with premises that are unique and of his own brain, like a beautiful human being, that Zach Peterson. And yeah, hell yeah, went number one. And also shout out to Brandy Posey, because that was the first release on her new label, Burnous Records, and out of the gate going to number one on iTunes. Pretty cool, man. All right, so let's talk about comedy drama. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. We got some time here. We got a few minutes.
Okay.
What do you, all right, we got to,
we talked a little shit before we started rolling on some local stuff, which I think is still a topic that's worth visiting on a future episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
But let's just get into the national level stuff that you had made notes on.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a callback to what we talked about earlier about commenting on people's sets.
Yeah, true.
Katie Kay and Mojo Brooks. Katie Kay is a comic, was opening for Mojo Brooks, who's like massive on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he always tries to have like a woman opener. And she posted a TikTok saying that he is so unprofessional. He was late and just destroyed her out of the blue for no reason after she crushed.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I know what bombing looks like, and I didn't bomb. And he's basically calling him a terrible person for roasting her after her set. He responds with receipts.
Yes.
Which is hilarious because everyone's like, this is just not how you treat other comics. And everybody's going at him.
Yeah.
And then, boy, how the turntables.
Yeah.
Because he responded with her set, basically.
Yeah.
And then what he said about her set. He called her like a substitute teacher. He's like, someone texted me, might be at the wrong show.
Right. He was making regular ass jokes a comic would make because he's a black guy and like by his own branding is does some hood shit. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's his brand. And so she was a skinny white girl. Right. And so now he didn't post all of her set. He posted a couple of jokes of her set or whatever. And it seems like she's doing fine. She's doing fine.
Right.
She's not crushing, at least in those. Again, he could have cherry picked. Maybe she did crush the rest of her set. We don't know. But the biggest thing is how much she built up this idea that he just talked shit about her for like 5 minutes and like really fucking tore her new asshole. And just she made up some quotes that he didn't say.
Yeah.
And then he posted all of his intro, which is him doing a couple of very soft jokes on the opener.
Yep.
And then that was the whole thing. Yeah, it was wild. It was just like, and I had never heard of this dude before. I had never heard of either one of them before.
Yeah.
But this is how far widespread this has come. It just popped up on my TikTok. I'm like, yo, you need to see this.
Yeah. They were talking about it in the green room at Zany's last night. I was like, I don't know who either of those people are, but I am invested. Yeah. I am like a dope fiend when it comes to comedy drama like this. This is how like irrelevant like
everything that we do is
oh my
that,
god
like, this so kind of drama stupid. Gets it unites everyone.
We talk about like we're making fun of me getting threatened by making fun of a comics joke before me.
Yeah,
it's just like I don't know how you take this so personally. Like this is what comedy, this is what comics do.
Yeah, well, and it's also it's like The KDK person said that she'd been doing comedy for what, 5, 6 years, something like that. She's like, I know what bombing looks like. I assure you I did not bomb. And again, from the clip I saw, I don't think she was bombing. I think she was doing okay. She was doing fine.
She was having a Joe Coy set.
She was she was hosting that award show. That's what she was doing. No. But like nowhere in your 6 years of doing comedy, the headliner didn't do a joke or two about you as their opening thing.
You should take that as like every, thank you.
I know. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because she was, it's out there, people. You can find it. I want to say, talking about things that we do love about comedy drama and someone who has really made a career for himself skewering comedy drama is Kurt Ryan, who is a stand-up comic on Instagram. His Instagram is fantastic. He's elite. Basically just makes he makes memes about stand-up comedy. He cranks them out. And man, in every batch, there's one that's just like, oh,
it's like, elite.
It's like, it is like, there's at least one sniper shot in every batch of just like, oh man, like hilarious. And also hurts my soul a little bit. You know, sometimes like, oh, too much.
That's too real. Yeah. Oh, man, I was feeling himself today.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that was that the only comedy drama thing, or there's something else?
Well, oh, Natasha Leggero. Everybody saw.
Yeah, Natasha Leggero went up after Bert Kreischer at the Improv in Hollywood and took her top off, and then kind of said, "If the guys can do it, why can't I?"
Uh-huh.
And then also had a joke about, "I'm thinking about fucking my opener," which is like fun.
So funny.
Yeah. So that's funny. You know, but yeah, it's good. You know, and you know she's a woman, you know, in her 40s that's had a kid, and you know, like there is a, you know, there's an element of bravery. It's not Tig Notaro taking her shirt off and telling everybody that she has cancer. It's not that, you know, but
like the comments prove her point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, the comments on social media is like, oh, you talentless hack. Like, why do you have to do this? Nobody does that on Bert Kreischer.
Nobody says it to Bert, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, the comments prove her point. And, hell yeah. Yeah. I thought that was so funny.
Natasha's a great comic. She's a fantastic comic. And, like, her and Moshe are both great. And, like, yeah. If you've ever seen clips of them doing what on stage together, doing, like, their marriage show,
yeah,
is awesome. And this is just a quick Natasha story. When I was in LA doing spots, I can't remember now what show this was. I think she was on the show earlier than me, and I got there with Aaron Foley, and we were getting ready for our show. And Aaron knew Natasha. I never met her. Introduced, very lovely, very nice. And then, like, a car pulls up, and Natasha's like, all right, I got to go, and starts to get into the stranger's car thinking it's an Uber. And then, like, this is in front of a bunch of comics standing in front of her. And then just has to immediately, like, she's, like, halfway in, and I'm like, no, okay. And then, like, not my Uber, guys. We're like, all right, good. It happens. It happens to the best of us, you know?
That's funny. Even God is one of us.
Yep. All right. I think that'll do for this episode of the podcast. Dwight, I speak for everybody that listens to the podcast. We're so proud of you, dude, stepping up and taking those big swings. And hopefully you get the Netflix thing and, you know, take your old man on tour with you. Let me just do five. Let me come out and do five.
Come on.
Matt. I'd be the guy that comes out and puts the cape on you, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's a deal.
Let me be your Jerome. I'll come out and hold the mirror. You know, you can get all pretty, you know?
See, this is the energy that... This is why we need to go on the road together again.
There you go.
Because we need that James Brown psychic energy. Very grateful and happy, and we'll see what happens. Nothing could happen. Something good could happen. I will be fine regardless. So keep pushing.
Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna do.
Word. All right. Until next time, everybody. That's good. That's good for all of us. Everybody, until next week, let's all of us keep pushing. And as always, if you have questions or comments for the podcast, we'd love to hear it. Send it in to the official email address, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com. mattanddwight@gmail.com. Gmail, actually, Google came to us and was like, will you please make your official podcast email a Gmail account. We're like, we'll do it for you, Gmail. We'll do it for you, Google. We got you, Googs.
Get buck wild.